Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To all our adamant seekers of knowledge, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf, and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a good book to read this week. I've personally reaped a lot of benefits from reading books. It gives you a sort of serenity, even if you're not reading a novel, and it gives you a sense of peace, even if you're reading nonfiction. It makes you feel intelligent, and it opens your eyes to new realities, and by opening your eyes to new realities, it opens your mind as well. And people who read a lot, they're better behaved, we can all see that. They are calmer, and they are much more tolerant of the diversity of opinion that exists around them. And when you learn something new from a book, this excitement is felt. You might even feel your heart palpitate in response to this excitement, but then a peace of mind ensues that results from the new understanding. I wonder what book you've been reading last week, but as your guest today, how about I suggest a book that will make us more intelligent during the coming week? We're taking a short break. Don't go away.
My Ummah, my Ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
You're tuned into IRIB English Radio. This is Bookshelf. So yeah, let's accept everyone dies, even leaders. And the most important question to ask in regards to the death of a leader is, who's going to succeed him? The leader and founder of Islam was Muhammad. And Muhammad, he changed the face and style of life in the Arabian Peninsula. He brought radical improvements to the human thought out there. He caused unprecedented equity in the society and an immense sense of tolerance among tribes and the differences of opinions. Sometimes these tribes were each other's enemies and at each other's throats for decades. So, if you are the prophet of a religion, how do you ensure that your religion doesn't die with your death? Well, I think the obvious answer is to choose a successor to prevent the havoc and chaos that might come afterwards. Kings do that. They always have a successor. Every democracy has a system that identifies a successor as soon as there's a leader. Every manager of a firm or a group that doesn't want that firm to die does so. Even shop owners sometimes choose successors. Some fathers announce a successor just in case they should disappear suddenly. And basically anyone who doesn't want their institution to go out of hand after the death chooses a successor. I think religion is far more important than all of these, because if lost, the path to God is lost. Havoc and chaos will be the takeaway of that decision, and perpetual confusion on what the religion really was will ensue. Look, I live in Iran, a country of 85 million people, and the thing that unites us is the same identity of Iranian. To my west, we have Iraq with 38 million people, and they have the same sense in regards to their own citizens. And then Afghanistan with 35 million, and to our south, we have the Arabs with more than 30 million population. Now, Muslims are a whopping 1.5 billion people. Imagine what would happen if this huge population had the same identity and shared the same opinions. I wouldn't leave such a population to itself without clearly introducing a successor. I wouldn't want 1.5 billion people to experience havoc after my death for centuries on end. And that's what divides the 1.5 billion Muslims we have today. Who was the true successor of the Prophet? And must it have really been introduced by God through the Prophet, instead of the people or nobles selecting one themselves? As a Shia, our position on successorship is that only God can decide who becomes the successor. And he did. He announced it on several occasions, explicitly and unequivocally. But then the Saqifa happened, where after the Prophet's demise, a group decided they want someone else to lead the Ummah instead. Today's book is called Leading the Ummah by Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani, translated by Mahmoud Farooq Bey, and published by Ahlul Bayt World Assembly Publishing and Printing Center. The Grand Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani was born in 1929 in Tabriz and is one of the several contemporary religious leaders in Iran today.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
I have the book in front of me right now. It's in 124 pages, and the contents include the philosophy of recognizing the imams, two hypotheses on imamate, the reasons for the validity of the Shiite view, the Prophet recognizes imamate, Islamic rules and the Holy Quran, need the interpretation by infallibles, the triangular danger, the three enemies of Islam, mental and spiritual perfection in the light of an innocent imam, is the Shiite view on imamate against the principles of freedom, consultation in Islam, let us be fair in our judgments, the sad story of Saqifa, the logic of the Ansar, and it goes on and on to discuss this issue of leadership. Alright, this book offers some profound reasons by resorting to Quranic verses and to prophetic narrations in order to explain the issue of leadership, illustrating that the divine verdict concerning the Islamic leadership was quite different from the view that was brought up in the Saqifa Convention. I'm going to read a part of this book in a few moments. Don't go away.
We are the Muslim Ummah, and each day that goes by, the harder we try. In gratitude we pray to Allah. Chosen as part of the best of mankind, we spread the word of Islam.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf, and we're going to read the book Leading the Ummah by Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani together. The only caliph who was elected with the unanimous votes of the immigrants, that is the Muhajirin and Ansar, was Imam Ali. In the history of the Islamic Caliphate, this was a unique and unprecedented occurrence, which never repeated itself again. When Muawiyah became aware of the fact that the Muhajirin and Ansar had elected Imam Ali as the caliph, he became extremely agitated and had no intention of allying with the imam. He not only avoided entering into allegiance with the imam, he accused the imam of having participated in the death plot against Uthman and of supporting Uthman's assassins. So as you can see, the book isn't just about the very event of Saqifa itself. It goes very deep into what happened as a result of the Saqifa. I don't have much time to read any more of this book, but if you missed it, it was the book Leading the Ummah by Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani. And that's all the time I have. So until next week, from IRIB English Radio, Bookshelf, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mm-hmm.